The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. I don't want to tell you what to do, but if you missed the end of hour one, you should go back and listen on Wisconsin On Demand. It was an all-timer from the big guy. And we had folks weighing in. I appreciate this response from Ron in the Key saying, imagine Team Jesus guy questioning the spelling of things with a name like Chimura.
Got a point.
What letter is silent in there, by the way?
All of them. Well, it needs a vowel.
Needs another vowel.
Yeah.
It's the CHM, I think, that really messes people up. And then Ryan from Iguanago weighing in saying, God, comma, what a loser. So if you missed any of that, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts. We have been talking about the Green Bay Packers. We'll get to those Brewers as well. Dropped another one last night in extra innings to the Cardinals. Not great, Bob, but we'll discuss that as the morning goes on as well. Jordan Love MVP. You know, we did the show last night, Weekly Wager. I wasn't there, but Ben Brust and Greg Matzik did the show last night. And you can get pretty good odds for the MVP race. Jordan Love, guys, though, is a very hot pick to be the MVP. I actually liked something that I think Greg Matzik said last night, guys, about Jared Goff. You should consider Jared Goff as an MVP candidate because, Gabe, to your point yesterday, didn't you say the Lions have 14 out of 17 games?
Correct.
In controlled environments, yes. In domes. He performs very well in domes. If the Lions do end up being the NFC representative in the Super Bowl, which we hope does not happen, he would have a pretty easy runway MVP candidacy.
Yeah, if they end up with a top speed, yeah, oh man, that would be... With all the weapons that they have in all those domes, yeah, Goff would be... My guess is there's some pretty good value on Jared Goff about Pato.
Not to take money away from our friends at Pato, but if you want to make that bet, I'll be the book for you, because that's not happening.
Is there gush for C.J. Stroud?
Ooh, I haven't seen it.
Because he had, for a rookie, he had a hell of a year.
Yeah, there's... I would think
he's going to get better.
Yeah,
I just meant from an MVP standpoint.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I believe his odds are either the exact same or higher.
Or slightly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Over Love?
Yeah.
Yes.
Just slightly, I would say. It's like, not like galaxies. It's
okay.
Like, you know, $50 or something.
Let's play the hypothetical here. Let's say that Jordan Love is the MVP. At season's end, at the NFL honors, he is standing on that stage holding the MVP trophy. Now, you could make the argument that no, we don't want him standing on the stage holding the MVP trophy because that means he's not in the Super Bowl. I know. This is a hypothetical. Just stay with me here for a moment. What would the Packers' record have to be, Chew, for Jordan Love to be the MVP of the league this year?
11-6, 12-5. I think that'd be enough.
Do they need to be better than that?
13-4. They got to win the division.
Oh, you think so?
They got to win the division. Have to win the division. It seems like the MVP award has been, for the last handful of years now, you have to have a top two seed in your conference. So, I mean, obviously, you win your division. So, top two seed in your conference, really good quarterback, you got a chance to win it. That's what the NFL MVP has come. So, if they're 11-6, they're not going to have a top two seed in the NFC. And Jordan Love can't win the MVP.
Yeah, but what if the defense isn't... Let's say the defense is 14-15. And the offense clearly carries this team, then there's a shot. Now, Mahomes, you can almost, I don't want to say take Mahomes out of the equation, but they're, I believe, a team that's like, you know what, let's go 11-6, 10 to make the playoff. You know, they turn, they're kind of the NBA model.
Yeah,
you know, they don't panic.
Their division stinks.
I'm looking at Get Up on the screen above us right now. It says ESPN Analytics have Kansas City with the second best chance to win the Super Bowl at 12% behind...
San Fran,
16%.
Yeah.
That's ESPN Analytics there. Is there voter fatigue like there is in the NBA? Obviously, Giannis is the great example of that. He puts up numbers better than he had done in his MVP seasons and yet is not the MVP winner. Is there voter fatigue? Like Patrick Mahomes has been year in and year out, this guy who has won the MVP. Is there a part of you that thinks like he probably will earn it but could not get it because of the voter fatigue?
No. That doesn't exist in the NFL.
You don't think there's quarterback fatigue?
In the NFL?
It's always going to go to a quarterback.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey didn't
win the MVP. I understand you're sick of it,
yeah.
But like I can't imagine what somebody would have to do to win an MVP that's a non-quarterback.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
McCaffrey, it felt like, was the candidate over, right? Was it last year?
Last year. And he, I mean, his year wasn't like...
It wasn't great?
I mean, it was really good, but it wasn't like when Derrick Henry ran for 2,000 yards and didn't...
Yeah, but Derrick Henry's not catching the ball out of the backfield like McCaffrey is. McCaffrey is a dual threat.
Yeah.
I would take,
and he didn't have 2,000, you know.
I would
he didn't
take,
have his best.
Listen, I would take I would take Christian McCaffrey in his prime over Derrick Henry in his prime.
Interesting pivot.
That's okay.
You wouldn't?
No, I'd take the guy who leads the league in yards after contact.
That's why I'm like, the second
highest rushing total.
Josh Jacobs, great running back. But I think Aaron Jones and what he does receiving the ball out of the backfield closes that gap quite a bit.
What if I told you that their yards per reception are shockingly similar over the course of their career?
I would be surprised. Well, you don't watch Josh Jacobs because the Raiders stink.
Yeah, but I'm telling you right now, their yards per reception and like catches per game,
the Raiders, no weapons. They had Devontae and they had, because Waller was gone.
Yeah.
I'm just saying
over the course of his career.
Yeah.
So obviously Waller was there and Hunter Renfrow was a big part of that offense once upon a time. Like over his career, he has been an underrated pass catcher.
And people don't know that because the Raiders are not on primetime.
Correct.
Ever.
We don't watch the Raiders because they stink.
Correct. Yes. Okay.
He is an underrated pass catcher.
You know what I'm interested in, Joshy? When you said that you don't think Jared Goff will win the MVP, why is that?
He doesn't make his team. He's not the guy like these other guys that are listed above him. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Josh Allen. He's not Joe Burrow. He's not a game breaker. He is a guy who goes out and does what he's asked. Not much more. He can also be the reason quite often that they lose games.
Is he
so
Kirk
is
Cousins?
He a game manager? Just to go back to
I
the previous
is,
conversation
yes.
that we had. Is Jared Goff a
I think
game
he's on the high
example?
End. I think he's in that Kirk Cousins, but I also think he's not special.
Who would you take? Jared Goff or Purdy? I still can't buy
it's
into
like the
Purdy.
Same guy to me.
Yeah.
Spider-Man meme.
Yeah. It's the same picture.
Yeah. When they have good teams around them, like they both do, they can both be very effective quarterbacks. But when you're talking about like MVPs and the guys who have historically won them, they all are like Hall of Fame level.
I think I would still take Purdy just because like some of the throws he made against the Packers in their comeback last year in that divisional game, I don't know if I've seen Goff's make some of those throws. Like there were some pretty special throws from Purdy there. Like he can still grow into something really, really good.
He's got so many weapons though.
Yeah,
Gabe.
But like
he's got unbelievable across the board.
You could also make the argument that having all of those weapons and knowing what the right play is, what the right read is,
sure.
is a skill, right? As opposed to having one guy, Devontae Adams, who you're giving the bulk of your passes to. There is something to be said for getting the ball to the right guy on each play.
Well, the thing is, you know one of them's going to win. It's just where are they at in the progression. And didn't he finish like best in that test they had, now that they have at the combine, where reaction time, Stroud was terrible and Purdy was the best as far as recognizing things and
no, now you know that you've said that out loud, I believe that you are correct in that. I believe there was
yeah.
there is some truth to you to Brock Purdy having had the best score in some test, quote unquote.
Like from
some
an from an athletic standpoint,
but the
from
one
an
that
arm
you said
strength
Stroud
standpoint.
Was, that wasn't an athletic test. That was a
cognitive
test.
Yeah.
And that has since
it's a fraud.
Been
yeah.
debunked.
But that's why, you know, and I played with guys that run like a deer but they can't read things fast enough. I'm talking from a tight end standpoint. Like, dude, you have to read that so much faster. You don't have a second and a half to read that. You got to read that in 300ths of a second and then go. So if Purdy, which he's not an athlete, he doesn't have the strongest arm. His intangible, are they intangible or tangibles? I don't know. What the hell? Doesn't matter. Knife still pisses me off.
But if he can go,
nope, not one, not two. I know McCaffrey's going to be open on the backside. It's the guys that sit there and go, are you going to get open? Okay,
where's
now go
window?
To two.
Yeah.
Okay, now go to three. I think if you put him in an offense where guys don't get open, like Josh, he's saying, all I'm saying is I could not pay that guy $65 million a year. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't be interested in it.
I don't know if you move on or what do you do.
Yeah, those are your options. You pay him $60 million or you move on.
What are you doing?
I'm paying him.
Even when they lose Kittle and they lose and McCaffrey's on the backside, you think he's good enough to carry a team to go?
I mean, I'm going to find out. I'm not going to be the one who moves on from a quarterback and then he goes and does great things elsewhere, because I'm not going to be in a position when it's time to move on from him to draft somebody else who's going to be better.
I really appreciate how you have recalculated our route here, by the way, GPS. Holy moly. It's like I want to have a conversation with Joshy exclusively about why Jared Goff can't win the MVP if he leads his team to the NFC Championship game, but Jordan Love can win the MVP if he leads his team to the National Championship game. And basically you're saying because Jordan Love is special and Jared Goff is not.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I would agree.
I think we have a long history of seeing the height. Like, if Jared Goff's best season is behind him, it would shock literally no one.
It can be done. Hold on. It can be done.
Yeah, go ahead. Bye.
Tell me the one player that did it 10 years ago, maybe 12. Tell me the one player who did it 12 years ago.
What's the question?
Like, who won the MVP that was a Jared Goff or just a guy?
So you're talking 20 years ago.
Might be. If you're,
I was going to say 10
because
technical.
It's Rich Gannon.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It can be done, but are you sitting here going, oh my God, Rich Gordon Gannon was a hell of a quarterback.
They went to the Super Bowl. He had a lot of weapons.
Sure.
For clarification's sake, if the question is ever about just a guy who did something extraordinary at the quarterback position, the answer is always Rich Gannon or Trent Dilfer.
Yes.
Just plug it in, guys. Those are the answers. We got to take a break.
Wait,
here
you
on
think
Jen
Rich
Gavin
Gannon won the league MVP a decade ago?
Was it? Was it 20 years?
I did see a meme recently that said something similar. It was like 1990 was 10 years ago, 2000 was 5 years ago. And it's
look,
like, it's
I'm just trying to make myself feel younger. Okay.
Fighting with God about knife.
He
is
gets
not
it.
The
it's
way
me.
To
he created my ago. Brain, so ultimately he cannot be mad at me.
Look. A decade ago is when the Packers lost the NFC Championship game because Brandon Bostic couldn't recover an onside kick. Wow.
2002 was the MVP
Rich Gannon
for Rich Gannon. 22 years ago.
Thank you.
He really appreciates it. Your home, your future, our priority. Your home is more than just a house. It is your future. Great Midwest Bank prioritizes your dream, ensuring your mortgage process is smooth and stress-free. You know there's lots of stressors in the home buying process, but your mortgage should not be one of them. Apply for your home mortgage loan at Great Midwest Bank, and you will experience a state of tranquility when you find out how easy the process is. Great Midwest Bank, simply local since 1935. If you love sports betting, you have to make your way to the Sportsbook at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. And if you're listening to the Weekly Wager, Greg Matzik, Ben Brust, and myself will be giving you our best bets every week for you to make a little coin at Pottawatomie. If you're in a rush, they have free 20-minute reserve parking spaces near the Skywalk. They have figured it all out. And if you haven't been to the Sportsbook yet, what in the world are you waiting for? The season starts tonight. Great opportunity to get down there and take in some games. It's a new era of sports betting at Pottawatomie, so get in on the action.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh, my God.
Show me chicken.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, what do we got?
With the NFL season kicking off, list of 8 things in front of me, and of course, whoever closes out this list, 800-990-3776, will get a free foursome to the Wisconsin Country Club. Check it out, thewisconsincountryclub.com, if you want to join me and be a member out there. But I have the last 8 Super Bowl MVPs. The last 8 players to win Super Bowl MVP.
Okay. Guess it would help to know who won the Super Bowl for the last 8 years. Right?
Might need even more than that.
Well, one's a layup.
I understand. I don't always, but in this case I do. Patrick Mahomes.
He is number 1, 3-time Super Bowl MVP, of course, won the last 2 Super Bowl MVPs.
That's why you meant more than 8.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And then was the Super Bowl MVP back in 2020 as well.
Ooh, I did not remember that.
Let's go Stafford.
Matthew Stafford is not on the list.
Have you seen that Britney Spears gif? That's what I was just doing there.
No?
With my face.
Who won it with the Rams?
I can't give you that.
Well, it's not a quarterback.
Because his name is on the list.
Oh.
You want a mulligan?
Yeah.
Okay.
His name?
How about Tom Brady? Can we go with Tom Brady?
Tom Brady, number 3 on the list.
Oh, so this is... Oh, that
he
was...
He won the MVP with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And
with
also
the
with the Patriots twice.
Yeesh,
on
how
this
far
list.
Back does that go? How far back is Brady's?
His last one on the list would have been 2015. So 2015, 2017, 2021.
Let's go Nick Foles.
Nick Foles won the
one.
Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl 52.
Hold on. To that point, I did see a text
number
about Nick Foles. We were
list.
Talking about just a guys, right? You were talking about Trent Dilfer and who was the other one? Gannon.
Rich Gannon.
Thank you. Justin weighing in saying, I would add Nick Foles to the ultimate guy who did something special at quarterback. So, yes, Nick Foles, MVP of that Super Bowl.
I guess this goes back a little ways.
Well, he said Tom Brady is on a bunch of them.
Yeah, so Tom Brady, last one, again, Super Bowl 49. And Nick Foles.
So all I'm trying to do is think of who would have won the MVP the year that the Rams won that Stafford did not get it.
Need an answer.
I'm just trying to think of who's on that team. Was it Cooper Kupp?
Mm-mm. Go defense. Go defense.
Aaron
Buffalo
Donald?
Bills. No, Buffalo Bills.
I don't know. These are guesses, guys. These are actual guesses. I don't know.
Want help?
So are these guesses? What are
no,
we doing?
No.
Yes, it's Cooper Kupp is my guess.
Okay, that's a
Cooper
Kupp
is number 2 on the list.
He won the MVP?
Super Bowl MVP in 2022, and the Rams won it. Yes.
Oh, that was a good guess.
When I guessed it, Joshy threw up a thumbs up in the production office, so I knew I was on the right track.
I just had one.
What are we doing over here?
It was a legitimate guess. So he was saying, like, yeah, you got it right. But then you were like, is that a guess?
Well, because you moved off of it so quickly.
He said, go defense, go defense.
He won it with Denver.
Who?
You know who.
I need a name.
I'm not going there.
I believe
I'm not
I
going
was with
there.
Him
Joe
this
Flacco.
Past week. No, I wasn't with Joe Flacco this past
Joe
weekend.
Flacco is number 8 on the list.
Yes.
Joe Flacco, Super Bowl MVP back in 2013.
Can you
Super
please
Bowl
reset
47.
The list very quickly?
Patrick Mahomes is 1. Cooper Kupp is 2. Tom Brady, 3. Don't have 4. Nick Foles is 5. 6 and 7 are blank. And Joe Flacco is number 8.
Number 6 is the ultimate trivia answer.
So I know because I was with him this past weekend at Texas A&M, Von Miller was a Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of.
That's who I thought you were thinking of.
Yes.
And then you guessed Joe Flacco. So I don't have any idea what's happening right now. That is an official guess game.
Von Miller won Super Bowl MVP in Super Bowl 50. So you guys just have 4 and 7 left.
So it's a DB from New England.
Good
I can't
thing
think
Jess
of his
Sims
name.
Mentioned that in our production meeting, huh? Woohoo!
That's the trivia one. What the hell was his name?
I have no idea.
It was like the guy that from won it from Dallas. That was a nobody. Super Bowl 30. Mm. I think his last name was Brown.
I mean, no, that's incorrect.
We're just guessing like generic names. Like
Smith.
Do you have a guess, Jen?
I do not have
four
a guess.
Four or seven.
Four or seven? Crap. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. There's okay. No way.
800-990-3776. We open it up to the fans. Oh. Whoever gets the last
what?
One
what do you mean?
On the
oh.
list.
I know who it was.
You always say that right on
we'll
your plate.
We'll get the foursome to Wisconsin Country Club.
Put
he doesn't need a plate because he's got...
Oh, a whiteboard
he's
now.
Got his whiteboard.
Give me your whiteboard. Let's see. Let's go out to... Ooh, Joshy, who should we go out to first here? Usually I go by when they called in, but these gentlemen have all called in at the same time.
Let's just start off with John here.
All right, let's go with John in Milwaukee. John, you're up first on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Can you guys reset the list for me?
Number one is Patrick Mahomes. Number two is Cooper Kupp. Three is Tom Brady. Don't have four. Five, Nick Foles.
You know what I'm talking
six,
about?
Von Miller. Eight is Joe Flacco. Don't have seven.
All right. Julian Edelman.
Julian Edelman is the Super Bowl MVP.
Wow.
That I think Chewy was trying to get to eventually.
Detroit Gilmore?
Yes,
yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, wasn't even close. Different side of the balls. Meaning we just have one left.
Malcolm Smith.
Malcolm Smith, a linebacker from the Seattle Seahawks.
What?
Oh, was the Super Bowl MVP
never
in Super Bowl 48.
But he guessed Smith. When he was guessing random names, he said Brown, and he said Smith. Now, he was going to say Johnson next. Yeah. He was going to say, I mean, he was just going to run through the most popular last names. Chewy gets an assist on that one.
Yeah.
No.
You get nothing, and you'll lick it.
You get absolutely nothing. So that's it. That's the list. Congratulations, you and yourself, a foursome to the Wisconsin Country Club.
That's a good list.
It was harder than I thought.
I'll never forget Malcolm Smith winning the MVP for like
really?
The rest of my life. Just because it's such a strange name to have as a Super Bowl MVP.
That's a terrible. Was that the one in New York?
I don't know if it was in New York. It was a blowout. Like, because that was when Manning was the MVP of the league, had this huge year in Denver.
And he was terrible.
And then they just got, because he was terrible when they won. He was actually good the year that they, I mean, he was terrible in the Super Bowl because they lost like 48-10
or whatever.
Was that
the year his first pass was a pick?
I believe
remember
so.
Remember in the end zone? Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I believe so.
Good list by Gabe. We roll on here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning a visit to Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee with deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music. You'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. You can learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because...
You must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Just let me cry a little bit.
Another frustrating loss for the Milwaukee Brewers last night. Cardinals beating them in extras again. And it was very similar to the previous game where Brewers were down. They rallied back, put some runs on the board, made it interesting, pushed it to extras, and then fell short. I am not panicking about the Brewers, but there are some things, Gabe, that I do think... I'd like to see him shore up. The runners in scoring position situation has not been great over the last few nights. I feel like the last week or so. Is that just a fluky thing? Or
yeah,
is that
it's just a fluky thing.
So there's no reason to worry that they have been stranding runners with a chance to win the game.
That happens throughout the course of a season. I mean, the Brewers, if you want to talk about clutch numbers, driving in runners with two outs, runners in scoring position have been very good all season long. Like, it stinks that they lost these last two games, and that's kind of putting a little bit more space between them and Philadelphia, making that series with the Phillies ever so more important because they need to catch up on that ground. But, I mean, this is an example of why, because a couple of fluky things, as good as they've been all season in some of these situations, you need to catch the Phillies and avoid the best 2 out of 3.
So what do you do if it's not attainable? Do you shut guys down? Do you rest them? Do you not play them? Or is it just...
I mean, the only way it's going to be... I mean, I don't see the Phillies just absolutely pulling away from the Brewers.
But that one stretch is huge,
yeah,
right?
You're not going to be officially eliminated from doing that until the last week of the season.
By that one stretch, too, you mean the Arizona-Philadelphia-Arizona stretch.
Yes, correct. Like, if they go 500 there, say it's, you know, it's kind of out of reach. You know, like the NFL. If you already clinched your spot, you're shutting all your guys down, essentially. Yeah. They don't do that in baseball?
Not really, because you want to stay in the routine. I mean, could you get hurt? But sure, it's not like the NFL, you know? It's not a car crash on every play.
For whatever it's worth, Philadelphia has won their last four. The Brewers have lost their last two. The difference in the loss column is three games right now between the Phillies and the Brewers. What is interesting, though, and I don't know exactly when this was thrown out there, so maybe it was before the Brewers lost a couple to the Cardinals. Maybe it was yesterday. Who knows? But the Brewers actually have, and get the sounder ready, Joshy, the best odds to win the World Series. Now,
it was as of Wednesday.
As of right now, it is still true over at Baseball Reference.
Oh, thank you very much for updating that. So that is very interesting. The list includes the Brewers, the Astros, the Dodgers, the Phillies, and the Cleveland Guardians. The Brewers have 12.7%. The Astros have 12.2%. The Dodgers have 11.2%. The Phillies have 11%. And the Guardians have 10%. How does it work? Explain this to me like I'm five, Gabe, if you can. That the Dodgers and the Phillies are ahead of the Brewers in the standings, but are behind the Brewers in the percentages.
Have no idea how Baseball Reference calculates that. But right now, they have a 12.5% chance of winning the World Series ahead of the Astros, who fell to 11.6.
Oh, because this is fluid. The numbers,
yes,
I'm looking at were from previous,
yep,
from yesterday, and these are the updated ones after yesterday's outcomes. Chewy, does it surprise you that Baseball Reference, not some rando site out there that's just like, you know, pro Brewers, gushing Brewers, Baseball Reference is saying they have the best percentage odds to win, not get to, win the World Series.
22.4% chance to get to the World Series.
Is it surprising?
One in five, think about that. 1 in 5 chance that the Brewers get to the World Series.
Will it change, though?
I mean, it fluctuates day to day.
Yeah.
Right? So it's going to depend on how they do.
Like
if they go on a 7-game losing streak, yeah, and lose their next 5 games, I'm guessing it won't be true, yeah, that they have a 12.5% chance of winning
bit
the World
Series.
Bit of
a nosedive, if you will, right? Like,
no,
but if they win their next 5, that's going to continue to rise.
They've got as good a shot as any of the top teams, you know, and the percentage points aren't that, they're not separated by a lot, maybe what, 2%?
0.2%,
it's very,
like,
it's very, very small.
I think the overall point to take away from this is there have been times, and I would say this even qualified maybe a bit last year, when you're like, man, how are they winning this many games? And I think you're doing that a little bit with, man, with this pitching staff, how are they doing it? But the pitching staff has been solid since the month of June. It has been.
Yeah.
It's just a fact of life. It's,
yes,
just a fact that their pitching staff has been really good. You don't accidentally get to September 5th and lead the league in run differential. Like, this isn't a fluky team.
I agree.
This is a really damn good team.
But my concern is, you know, Churio, who's hot as ever right now, cools off.
But here's the thing, Chew. He's not just hot. He's bleeping good.
Yeah. No, I know.
This goes back to June. This isn't just him having a hot month or two. This is him being really
solid.
Good. This is him being one of the best, if not the best player in the National League since June 1st.
But did the playoffs change? In baseball, because we all hear in football, like, okay, regular season's this, and then it speeds up in the playoffs. Does that happen in baseball?
Yeah, because every pitch means something, right?
Okay.
Like, everybody's on the edge of the seat. And, you know, managers are going to manage differently. You know, you're going to have a shorter leash for your starters because the series is shorter and you have to win games. Whereas, you know, somebody's getting lit up. You're like, okay, well, we can't go too deep into our bullpen today. We got to leave them out there. That doesn't happen. You're managing the game differently. It is speeding up. It is a different game, just like, mm-hmm, everything else once you get to the postseason.
Okay. I appreciate you saying that the runners in scoring position, which was an issue last night, I think I saw the number 0 for 15. I believe it was an issue in previous games. I believe it has been an issue that has cropped up occasionally. I appreciate you saying, don't worry, no worries, it's fine, it's a fluky thing. But couldn't it be something, Gabe, that crops up in the last stretch of this season? Couldn't it be something that crops up, God forbid, in the postseason and keeps them from winning a series, keeps them from rolling on?
They have one of the best offenses in baseball. You're going to have stretches like this. Yeah. And that's why you want to avoid three-game series. Fluky things happen throughout the course of a three-game series. So far over the first 120, 30 games, how many ever they've played, it has not really been that big of an issue for the Brewers.
So we're not there yet where you're like, come on, you got to beat St. Louis. We're not there yet.
No.
Okay. Because there are, I mean, like they play Pittsburgh, I think, right before they play the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And Pittsburgh's done. Yeah.
I mean, you want to win.
Like, you got to win.
You want to win series, yes. It would have been nice to win one of the last two in extra innings when you had your opportunities. Instead, they, you know, have guys strike out three times. I do think it's awesome, though, that the Cardinals, each of the last two nights in extra innings, runner on in scoring position. Nope. We want nothing to do with Jackson. Put him on first base.
Yeah.
Want nothing to do. Four of them. Put him out there. We're not pitching to this guy.
Well, but that's a reality when you're as hot as he is. That's what teams are going to do.
100%.
So it's great to get the guy on base, which again, we always know, you know, the goal is to not get it out. It's great to get on base, but you have to know now they're not going to take the chance that he's going to hit a bomb, a two-run bomb, a three-run bomb, and put them in up against it like that. I will say this. And maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I'm overreacting. I was frustrated last night when they lost. I was frustrated the night before when they lost. Last night I stayed up, watched the, you know, again, they went into extras both of the last two nights. I was like, what a missed opportunity. God bless it. You gotta, I said, you gotta beat the Cardinals.
Yeah.
That's how I felt last night after that game. And maybe it was cumulative from the night before. Am I wrong for that, Gabe? Like, I was very frustrated last night when I went to bed and they had lost for the second straight night in extras to the Cardinals, a team they should be beating.
I don't think you should be very frustrated about anything quite yet. Because, again, that's how we get to Tausch declaring that they're not going to make the playoffs last year because they lost two games to the A's, right? I mean, it's just right
that
now
was
it's just
a lot earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Though.
But, I mean, right now it's still just two games. Nothing's out of reach. Nothing's impossible for them. You're going to lose back-to-back games. It happens in baseball. I promise you that everybody else that you're facing is going to lose back-to-back games at some point the rest of the season. Now, you had your opportunities, and yes, it stinks. It stings, but I don't think you should be, God bless America, I can't believe they did this again. Like, I don't think you should be throwing anything. You could be disappointed. I don't think there's a level of frustration that should set in quite yet.
Even the best teams in baseball are going to lose like 70 games during the course of a season. You get so invested, but you do have to take a step back.
But they got some tough series coming up.
Of course they do. And
you know what those other teams have?
Yeah.
Tough series.
Because they're playing the Brewers.
No, I know. I know.
Who's a damn good baseball team.
Yeah, no, I know.
I figured out also, so the playoff and World Series odds are based on the last 100 games, and it's a simulation they run where basically they take what is the mean outcome of all of those. So through the last 100 games, the Baseball Reference is telling us the best team in baseball has been the Milwaukee Brewers because they have the they most often come out on top.
You're right.
There you go. I like that.
So let me ask you this, guys. I got two choices here. What should I buy into more? Buy into Baseball Reference saying that the Milwaukee Brewers have the best chance of winning the World Series, which, by the way, would be enormous for the state of Wisconsin. I can't even tell you how huge that would be for Brewers fans, for Baseball Nation, all of that stuff. Like, that feels like a conversation we don't even need to have. Or what I watched the last two nights of a team that did have pops, that did have pops of production, that did seem like they were in the game, and then lose it late in the thing. So you're telling me to dismiss the data points from the last 24 hours, the last 48 hours, and invest more in Baseball Reference telling me that the Brewers have been the best team over the last 100 games.
Correct.
Yeah.
Bigger sample size.
100 versus 2.
Yeah. That's how good the Brewers have been.
Oh, they've been unbelievable.
Yeah. They've been spectacular.
I also think it's really hard for us, especially with the football season starting today. Like, every game doesn't matter as much as it does at this point. Like, it doesn't matter the same way a 2-3 game win-loss streak in the NFL will matter. Like, this is just what happens. It's baseball. It's weird. Weird things happen.
But I want to remind not you, but everybody that we want them to get the one or the two. We need them to get the one or the two. We feel much more confident in their ability to do what Baseball Reference is saying, win the World Series, if they get the one or the two. They're still in the three. There is now more distance between them and the Phillies. And we would like to see that close over the next 1, 2, 3 weeks. You know that this is not my strong suit.
Counting?
Between him spelling and me counting, really we're just relying on Gabe to get us through those important details.
Yeah, I mean, they have more games left in their season than the Packers are going to play all year.
Yes.
Like that's still how much baseball there is left to be played. And you've got opportunity, you know, against Colorado and San Francisco, you know, in these next handful of games. Like, you've got an opportunity to
close the deal.
You know, you go 5-1 over the next, you know, over the next six games. Oh, all of a sudden we feel that much better going into the Arizona-Philadelphia-Arizona stretch.
Eric weighing in saying, can you please stop saying the Brewers are World Series favorites? I don't know what book you're looking at, but there's no book in Vegas that has the Brewers even close to top three favorites.
Yeah,
we did not say that it was a Vegas book.
No, it was Baseball Reference has them at the highest percentage of winning the World Series. So that tells you, if you're in Vegas,
yep,
or if you're going to Pado, guess where the value is.
Yep. Really good value.
There you have it.
Because their odds are way longer than Baseball Reference is telling us, if you believe in people who spend their whole life worrying about baseball.
That being said, Jen, don't you dare.
Someone already said it. Someone beat you to it. Mad City Brew on the YouTube page saying, Jen, don't you dare bet on or against the Milwaukee Brewers. There's somebody else.
If you're going to do any betting, keep it in the American League. That's all I'm saying.
Somebody else said that Jen hosting a betting show on ESPN Milwaukee has got to be a sign of the apocalypse. Wow. I'm going to have to start telling you guys when I win instead of just telling you when I lose. Relive the greatest postseason run in Milwaukee Bucks history with Bucks in Six. That's a podcast. It presents a special series commemorating the Bucks title run in 2021. From the thrilling seven-game series against the Nets to the 50-piece from Giannis in the finals, you can immerse yourself in the sounds of each playoff round. Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus audio network. Find it now on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things, because it's like, I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
my apple.
Can
we just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN. Here we go.
The next edition of Behind the Bucks is here on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher. Bucks stars share their experiences from competing in the world's biggest stage, the Olympics, from battling against their Bucks teammates, teaming up with fierce rivals, all for the glory of a gold medal. Behind the Bucks offers unique access and deep storytelling for Bucks fans unlike ever before. Presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR benefits consultant. Find it, bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brewers have an off day, and then as Chewy mentioned, the schedule, it's a little dicey. They only have two off days between now and the end of the season after today. The Colorado series, then another off day, and then they start San Francisco, Arizona, Philadelphia, Arizona, then an off day, and then you got Pittsburgh, and then you got the Mets, and then the season will be over. AB from Milwaukee weighing in saying, 20 games left. You hate the Brewers having to depend on others to lose more than the Brewers to win. And I think they're talking about, again, closing that gap between the Phillies and the Dodgers.
Part of what happens when you chase, you need them to lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're going to be rooting for that. In terms of your concern, Jen, with the runners left on base, who do you think leads the league in left on base this year?
Philly.
Philly's right ahead of the Brewers. They're number four. Dodgers are number one.
Really?
Well, it makes a ton of sense.
You get
the
on
best
base.
The best teams are giving yourself the most opportunities to score.
And you're getting on base.
Yep.
And sometimes you don't push them around.
Correct.
Okay, fair enough.
So that's it's part of the deal. The
Let
best offenses leave the most on base.
Let me ask you this as we wrap up the show today. Have you allowed yourself to start believing that the Brewers could win the World Series, Gabe?
No.
Really?
Haven't started believing there yet. Got to get, I mean, once the postseason starts, you win a postseason series, it's going to go from 0 to 60 quick.
You're waiting until October?
Yeah.
I started believing 2 months ago.
Somebody's guarding their heart. Wildy and Tosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.
Eastbound on 94, right about at the ramp from 41 southbound. We do still have the right lane blocked with a crash, so watch out for that. It is going to be slow from the zoo pretty much all the way to the stadium interchange. That's something to keep in mind. Southbound 43, a little heavy from before Hampton Avenue down past Capitol. And then along westbound 894, heavy out of the Mitchell towards 68th Street through that construction zone. And northbound on 4394, just as you're coming out of the Plainfield curve, you'll ride the brakes all the way up past Oklahoma Avenue. Traffic is brought to you by Johnson & Sons Paving. Follow the three R's of asphalt maintenance to avoid